See your wonderful faces here, and it's wonderful to be together to worship the Lord. I trust that you have come expecting, and you're going to leave having received today in worship, through prayer, and through the preaching of God's Word. If you're here this morning and you are visiting for the first time, I just want to say thank you for being with us, and welcome to our church family this morning, and we hope that this won't be the last time that you grace us with your presence. And we're going to turn to God's Word right now, to Colossians chapter 4, as we finally come to complete this wonderful letter that Paul wrote. A letter, while it was written so long ago, was so applicable to where you and I live today. As you're looking up that scripture this morning, just want to highlight, over the last 3 weeks, and today will be the fourth, we have been meeting in the library on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock for Grow Tracks. Grow Tracks is a four-week series where we are introducing, it's an introduction of discovery. We've just been discovering our church family. We've been discovering our place in the body of Christ. We've been discovering our purpose as believers. And tonight we're going to continue, we're going to conclude our discovery in a session that's simply called Welcome to the Dream Team. And I'm going to be doing this in two parts. The first part is what I am going to share with you this morning. The second part is we are going to join together one more time tonight as we discover the various ministries that God has given us as a church and where each of us can possibly fit into the fabric that we call Highway Christian Fellowship. I'm going to share with you in just a moment some of the areas of ministry that our church is involved in, and it may surprise many of you to the extent that our church is making an impact, not just here on this corner, but even outside in our community and even around the world. You got your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 4? Awesome. I just want to begin by sharing this story. And maybe you've heard the story. It's a cruise ship that sank in the middle of the Pacific. Three men who were on a cruise together were stranded in a lifeboat. They floated around for days without food or water until one afternoon a bottle floated up to the side of the boat. The men grabbed the bottle, and when they pulled out the cork, out came a genie. "I'll grant you each a single wish," said the genie. The first man said, "I know. I wish I was home." And poof! Instantly, he disappeared. The second man said, "I also wish I was home." Poof! The second man disappeared. The third man thought for a moment, "Man, it's kind of lonely around here," he said. "I wish my friends were here with me." As we conclude our study in the book of Colossians today, we're reminded how our faith should affect our relationships. Instead of just looking out for ourselves, we are reminded we need to recognize that we really need each other, because we're all members one of the other. Someone has said, "To dwell with the saints above, that will be glory, but to live with the saints below, well, that's another story." Or as my grandfather was always prone to say, "We would have revival every Sunday, but then people have to come to church." We need one another. And here in this chapter, Paul introduces us to a group of 10 individuals, men and women, whom I call Paul's dream team. And even though the Apostle Paul was among the most gifted teacher, preacher, prophet, hymn writer in the history of the church, He recognized that he was not a one-man show. Surrounding him were faithful men and women devoted to serving Jesus Christ. And in verses 7 through 18, we see a team, a dream team, a group of men and women who were standing with the Apostle Paul and for one another. So as you've got your Bibles open, let's turn. And if you're looking up at the in the church pew Bible, it's on page 1680. In verse 7, Paul begins, "Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read to the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the church from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in mine own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." Paul's primary concern is that we would understand that as Christians, we are a team devoted to serve Christ together. That may seem elementary to many of you this morning. In fact, you may say, "Well, Pastor, if that's all the message is, we might as well go home." I know that. And it's one thing to know that in our heart, but it's another thing to know that in our heart and with our hands. You see, the fact of the matter is, the message of the church is really so countercultural. Our culture says that we can handle life on our own. We can do life on our own. We can do our families on our own. We don't need anyone or anything else to make it. We can do it. But the Word of God tells us that Jesus created his church for a reason, and that one of those reasons was for the reality that we need one another. And the Apostle Paul, in many of his writings, gives special place by identifying people who had such an impact on his own life. In fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 15, he lists about 20 names of men and women who had a powerful impact on his life and ministry and his growth as a believer in Jesus. And I want us to be encouraged this morning that if you have come here today, and maybe you have come and it's your first time, or maybe you've come here Sunday after Sunday, you've sung the same songs, but in your heart you're going through something that no one else does, I want you to be encouraged this morning that you are not alone today. But as a church, we have devoted ourselves to serve Christ together, to pray together, to worship together, to serve in this church and in the community together, because Christ has called us to do it together in him. You see, Paul wasn't the only guy doing ministry. He was part of a team. And in the verses we've just read, he mentions five groups of friends who impacted his life. And so he commends these as those of impacting the lives of others. And as we go through these verses quickly this morning, I want you to ask yourself which category you would put yourself in. Or more importantly, what type of friend do others think you are? There are five categories of friendships or relationships he mentions: the faithful, the fervent, the faltering, the fickle, and the forgotten. Let's go through these this morning, beginning with the faithful. And the first friend that Paul mentions is Tychicus in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, a faithful servant. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus had three primary responsibilities. He was to deliver letters to the Ephesians, Colossians, and to Philemon. In essence, he was Paul's personal FedEx man. He was also to encourage the church by letting them know how Paul himself was doing. He would also encourage their hearts. Isn't it true that we all need encouragement? It's one thing for me to preach a sermon, but I trust that you are also encouraged. And I trust as we meet here week after week and you get together with other brothers and sisters throughout the week that you find a time to encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13 reminds us, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Are you an encourager? Do you build others up? Paul was confident in giving Tychicus these responsibilities because he knew that Tychicus was faithful. And folk, I can hear of no greater or higher commendation than anyone can receive than being found faithful, trustworthy. But he was also a fellow servant. I love this because Paul here doesn't pull rank. He could have ended this letter by saying, and this is written to you by the great one and only famous Apostle Paul, who knows everything about everything. No, he does not put himself on a pedestal whatsoever, but he points to how others have been faithful and have served along with him. And here's the point that I think we need to be reminded of today. You see, ministry doesn't just happen here on the platform with the worship team or when someone preaches. It's not just the Sunday school leaders downstairs teaching our children. It's not just the first impressions or our media team. No, folk, I've got news for you that each and every one of us are ministers together. In fact, I've been kind of toying with the idea of changing our church sign out there. And I'd like to change the church sign to pastors two, ministers 80. Because that's essentially what we are, folk. We are 80 or more men and women and young people and children who are serving God together, and none of us is doing it alone. Havelock Christian Fellowship has a lot of people who are faithful, just like Tychicus. And it may interest you to know that each week ministry is accomplished through this church by men and women who faithfully serve. In fact, I just went through the building, and in my own mind, I was just imagining people sitting and serving throughout the week, beginning with Sunday morning, going straight through to the Saturday night prayer meeting. And in the various ministries that we have, whether it's people who are leading, who are serving, who are seeking, who are singing, who are greeting, who are collecting, who are praying, there is about 100 to 130 people throughout the week, every week, doing something, serving, worshiping, giving, praying, doing something together. And yes, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, there are people that may have two or three or four different hats, like Nils does, who does an outstanding job. Folk, I'm convinced I'm going to get him a bed and a cot here to stay. He's here almost every day. And folk, there are many people like Nils who are serving out of their hearts. People that we wouldn't see their names in the bulletin. We don't see their names up on the board behind me. But they're serving faithfully. And folk, that's how ministry is accomplished. Because we're doing it together. Oh, how I thank God for every ministry team and individual that makes up this church. From the moment that you came in this morning, you were greeted by members of our First Impressions and Greeting team. Folk, that is so essential, as it is true that most people will decide if they're going to return to a church within the first 5 minutes. And folk, the greeting team, the First Impressions are so essential. I thank them so much. And then, of course, there's those who are making coffee. And I really thank you for that. There's our media team, as Pastor Sue mentioned a moment ago, and Steve and Russ who and Mike and Peter who serve so faithfully. And folk, if you're looking for a ministry to serve in, folk, I tell you, there's nothing like being up there and having the power of shutting the preacher up. And folk, if you would like to be part of that ministry, please speak to me and we'll get you connected. We'll get you trained up. We'll get you suited up and we'll let you get, we'll get you part of that. Then there are monthly ministry. There's our care group ministries that meet throughout the week. And if you're a leader or you're a host this morning, we want to thank you so much for what you do. And our ladies' Bible study that's just going gangbusters, our library team, and we want to thank Laurel and her team and Dorota for taking over that ministry. In fact, after the service, I think there's another sale, isn't there, Dorota? So if you're looking for good books, and if you still read books, and you like that feel of paper in your hand, have we got a deal for you? After the service, you can go into the library, and there's a whole slew full of books to choose from, and it's by donation, and the donations go to buy new resources for the library. So we want to just invite you to be part of that. Our Women to Women ministry that meets every month or so, and Her Night Out, which has gotten off to just an awesome start. Our men's ministries that we meet weekly at Melinda's for coffee, and then on Wednesdays, and then on Thursday mornings at 9 for prayer, and then we'll have breakfasts throughout the year. Man, we thank God for the leadership there. For our legacy builders and folk, we're looking to rebuild our legacy builders. And if you would like to be part of the planning of that, please speak to me and we'll get you suited up, trained up, and prayed up. Here's the point. If you are a part of a ministry in this church, and you may not think it's grand, it doesn't matter, but you do something somewhere. And of course, I can't forget hockey, hot dogs, and at Highway. We can't forget that ministry to our kids. But folk, if you're part of a ministry, would you stand? anywhere. Whether I don't care what ministry is, just stand. Come on, there's a whole slew more of you. Would you just give these folk a great hand? Thank you. Thank you for serving well. Thank you for serving faithfully. Thank you for serving like Tychicus and Articus, who was a fellow prisoner of Paul. Thank you for serving like Jesus Justice and Dr. Luke, who were faithful members and ministers. And what set these people apart more than anything? They were faithful. Doesn't say that they were excellent. It doesn't say they were professional. It doesn't say they were perfect, but they were faithful. And what were they faithful in? They were faithful in giving encouragement. And whether you're part and parcel of a ministry in our church or you're looking for a ministry in our church, there is something all of us can do together, and that is we can encourage others. We can encourage others. Not only were there the faithful people, oh, and I can't forget Nympha. Now, there are some translations that they add a male pronoun to that name to make it a male, but the NIV and other newer translations use a female pronoun, understanding that this was probably a woman. We don't know how old she was. We don't know if she was married. All we know is that she simply opened up her house to others. In fact, her house was where the church at Laodicea met. She may have even have been one of the ministers or the deaconesses. We don't know. But Paul is very careful and intentional of pointing out the ministry that this woman, Nympha, was to him and to the church for her gift of hospitality and openness and willingness to use whatever she had, including her home, to be an encouragement to others. And I want to thank all of the women here who serve so faithfully in our church. For far too long, women have been put on the sidelines of, yes, they teach Sunday school, they do all the woman stuff. But folk, I want you to know the same anointing that rests on me, the same anointing that rests on Ike, the same anointing that rests on OT and the worship team, is the same anointing that rests on every woman in this room today. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's call is just as much on your life as it is on every other person. The question that you and I must ask as men and women is, what will we do with what we have? Because that's essentially what Nympha did. I imagine that she was wondering, God, what can I do to serve you? What can I do to offer my service to you? And the Lord just said, you've got a house. Maybe it was a big house. I don't know. But whatever it was, she said, God, use it. And that's what God is saying to each and every one of us here today. Whatever is in your hand, say, God, use it to your glory. Use it to your glory. Whatever is in our hands this morning. Then, of course, along with the five faithful friends, Paul had a fervent prayer warrior in the person of Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Now, Paul points out Epaphras specifically for his prayer ministry. That doesn't mean that the five faithful friends didn't pray. I am sure they did. But he points out Epaphras because this was something that was particularly a blessing to Paul. And Epaphras, if you were to ask anyone who knew him, what is Epaphras like? And they would say, if you want someone to pray for you, get Epaphras. He'll pray with you. He'll encourage you. What a wonderful way of encouragement. Some people encourage others by their gifts, like Tychicus. Some people encourage others by their presence, like Epaphras, who was with Archaeus, who was with Paul in prison. Even though he didn't have to be, he stuck with Paul no matter how hard it was. Some people encourage others by just using what they have. And then there are those who serve others and encourage others by praying for them. I am so glad that we are a praying church. I am so glad for the opportunities that we have for corporate prayer together. But I'm also so glad when I hear stories of people in this church who at Sirius Coffee or at Tim Hortons or somewhere, they're meeting together and they're praying for each other. Folk, there is no greater encouragement than to be able to pray for someone who needs help. And Epaphras was that kind of friend. Are you ready, willing, and available to pray? Are you ready, willing, and available when you see someone in need to not just help them out of their problem, but to pray them out of their problem? Thank God for people who pray. Thank God for friends who pray. A number of us are faithful, and a few of us are fervent. But I think we all know people who look like they're faltering. And this was the case with Archippus in verse 17. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Now, this is another name that you don't read often in the New Testament. And when we compare this verse with Philemon verse 2, we conclude that Archippus belonged to the family of Philemon. In fact, some commentators suggest that he may also have been the pastor of the Colossian church in the absence of Epaphras. For some reason, he was neglecting his ministry. Oh, he wasn't falling into sin. But it looked like he was just plain discouraged. He was tired. He was worn out. He was faithful to the Lord. He was desirous to do the work, but like so many of us, he was just plain tuckered out. And it was affecting his ministry. You may have heard statistics that say that suggest about 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every week. Now, I'm not too sure how accurate those statistics are. But I can tell you this with all accuracy. Having just spoken with my sectional pastor, Lyndon Braber, up at Glad Tidings, and speaking with other pastor friends at conference, and having gone through it myself, you know what the number one burden that pastors face? Loneliness. Loneliness. They work, they strive, they pray, they're on 24-hour notice, and over time it gets tiring. And there are many pastors leaving the ministry today, not because of moral failure. They're leaving because they're just plain tired. And so Paul points out Archippus not to point a finger of judgment at him, but he writes a note of encouragement. Archippus, don't give up. Archippus, complete the work. God's called you. God's gifted you. God's anointed you. Don't stop now. There is still much work to do. And he tells the church to tell Pastor Archippus, let your shepherd know how much he's appreciated, and let him know that he can make it. Now, I share this with you for two reasons. Number one, because it's in the Word. And number two, I don't want you to, for a moment, think, oh, Pastor, it's so tired. He doesn't feel loved. I want you to know something. That's the exact opposite. Folk, I have never in my life enjoyed pastoring a church as much as I do Highway Christian Fellowship. And I mean that sincerely from my heart to you. I love this church. Quirks and all. And I know you love me because I'm the biggest quirk. And if you're going to pray for everyone, pray for Sue because she's married to the biggest quirk. And I thank God for the encouragement that I receive. Each week I will get an email or someone will just call me or mention to me, Pastor, thank you so much. And folk, I am so blessed to be part of this church. I am so blessed. And I thank you so much. But I want you to think of someone right now who may be tired. Maybe they've been serving diligently. And maybe someone in this church and maybe someone in your family, they've been serving hard. And maybe they haven't gotten all the recognition that they should. But they need a word of encouragement. Maybe you need to give them a call or send them an email or a text and let them know you're not forgotten. Don't falter now. Don't quit now. God's given you a ministry. He's given you an anointing. Don't stop now. Let me ask you this morning, are you faltering? Have you been laying your life out for Christ and now you feel like you're absolutely wiped out? Can I challenge you and encourage you this morning? Don't give up. Renew your call and commitment to Him. Complete the work that God has given you to do. Paul also had at least one friend who could be categorized as fickle. His name was Demas. In fact, only five words are spoken of him, and Demas sends greetings. We don't know much about this man, but we do know from the book of Acts and in Timothy that he had been a servant along with Paul, accompanying him on his ministry, and we don't know if he was a teacher or a preacher, but he had a significant role to play in Paul's ministry. But something happened that we don't know. But at some point, Paul writes to Timothy, and I can almost imagine that Paul is writing in tears. Demas, who has loved this world, has deserted me. The ministry got hard. Serving God got difficult. The things of the world became more attractive. And how many of us know people like that? How many people know of individuals who used to sit in these empty chairs this morning, who were on fire for God, who were fervent prayer warriors, who were faithful servants, and today they have fallen? And because of their absence, we've kind of forgotten them. But here's why I think Paul mentions Demas' name. Because God wants us to be reminded that God doesn't forget those who have faltered and fallen. He hasn't forgotten those names. and we can scratch them off a church attendance list. But folk, God never scratches those names off his list because he loves them. And some of those names may be close friends or relations. And I want you to know that God hasn't forgotten them. And maybe God is calling you today to say, maybe I've got to give someone a call and let them know they're not forgotten. They're not forgotten. And if you know someone like that, maybe in your own family, in your circle of friends, can I challenge you to just give them a call, send them an email, let them know they're not forgotten. But not only were they fickle folk, not only were they faithful folk, not only were they faltering folk, but Paul ends this list with two forgiven friends. The first forgiven friend was Onesimus, and the second one was John Mark. John Mark, we all recognize as the author of the gospel that bears his name, and most of us who know his story know he was a nephew of Barnabas, who was Paul's mentor. And for a while, John Mark accompanied Barnabas and Paul on their missionary journeys, and whether his youth just caused a lot of fear, but he hightailed it back to Dodge. It got too hard. And Paul just had a hard time with that. He had a hard time with John Mark. Barnabas wanted to restore John Mark, and Paul said, no way. His past determines his future. And so if he failed us once, he'll fail us again, and we can't have that kind of albatross weighing us down. And the Bible says that there grew such a strife between the two that Barnabas and Paul parted company. But Barnabas didn't give up on John Mark. He took John Mark under his wings and began to pour into him and pour into him. He recognized his youth. He recognized all that he was going through. But he never gave up on John Mark, to the point where not only was John Mark restored in ministry, but he was restored to a point of relationship with Paul that Paul could write to Timothy and say, tell John Mark to come and bring the sermon notes I sent him. Because he's valuable to me for the ministry. Is there someone in your life that you know that maybe you've given up on? You've tried, and they keep failing, and you've just lost patience. Can I encourage you that maybe to look at them with a second look and say, let's try one more time. And let's, rather than pointing a finger, let's reach out a hand that says, come with me, join me, and together we'll learn how to do this together. Because fellow servants not just pray for one another. We're not just present when others are going through a difficult time, but we stick it through with one another. Because at the end of the day, God wants us to know that we're forgiven. Let me ask you a question this morning as we begin to draw this message to a close and the worship team can make their way back to the platform. Are you knocked down flat this morning? Do you feel like someone has knocked the wind out of your sails? Do you feel like people have forgotten about you? It doesn't matter your background or what it is, folk. I want you to know, as God forgave Mark, as God forgave Onesimus, that God forgives you if you'll call on him today. What do we learn from these friends that Paul names in this letter? We need to be part of a team. We need to be part of a team. You would say, well, Pastor, what can I do? My day is done. It's time to celebrate retirement. Great, have I got some jobs for you? You've got time. This past week, I went with the seniors, with the legacy builders, to the annual spring rally in Nanaimo. And I learned a couple things. One of the things I learned that if I were to have a bus of junior highs or a bus of seniors, I think I'll pick the bus of junior highs. They're a whole lot easier to corral sometimes. But it was a wonderful, wonderful day. And in the afternoon, they had three breakout sessions you could choose from. One breakout session dealt with patience. Well, I couldn't wait for that one, so I chose something else. The second one dealt with assisted suicide and death. So I could learn about death or patience. The third one was learning how to do intergenerational ministry. And that's the one that I and several of us who attended went to. The youth pastor of Generations Church was the facilitator, and he shared a couple of statistics that really opened my mind. One statistic was not new, and that is in Canada, 85% of young people, once they leave high school and or university, leave the faith. Period. It used to be that statistic used to say that they would leave the church but would come back after they got married and started having kids. Not any longer. 85%. As Pentecostals, we're moderately better at 80%. Now, that's not the number that surprised me. The number that blew me away was this. Of those young people that remain strong in their faith after high school, throughout university, and end up continuing to serve the Lord in the local church, of those 15 to 20%, 85% of those remain for three reasons. Number one, because they are part of a church that believes and allows young people to experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They believe that God is real, and they prove it. Secondly, they're not just called the church of the future, but they're the church of the now, and those churches involve those young people in the day-to-day ministries of the church. But the one that really blew me away was the third thing they all have in common is that every single one of those young people could say that they had not one, not two, but three non-parental adult people who took an interest and poured into them. And immediately my mind went back to my own experience, to my grandfather, to my youth pastor, who we're going to hear preach in this church in a few weeks, and to my junior high Sunday school teacher, John Bernhardt. Three men who they will never know this side of eternity, the impact that their influence, their mentorship, their example, and their words of encouragement meant to me. You want to know what you can have as a ministry, ladies and gentlemen? We've got a dozen or so young children downstairs. You know what I remember growing up, Ike, in church? I will never forget those dear senior saints coming up to me after church and saying, "Ralph, God has a call in your life. I'm praying for you." You want to encourage those kids? Take them aside and let them know you're praying for them. Look them in the eyes. Call them by name. If you don't know their name, ask them. Write it down. Put it on your refrigerator and pray for them each and every day and let them know they're being prayed for. If you want to ministry, if you want to encourage the next generation, that's it. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this time that we've been able to share together in your word. And Father, you have called us to serve you, to serve you together. And Lord, if anything, God, you've called us to pour into the next generation, to pour into someone else. With every head bowed and eye closed, I want to ask you these four questions. Who are you pouring into today? Secondly, who is pouring into your life? Thirdly, who do you need to forgive today? And finally, who do you need to encourage? You see, the fact of the matter is we're not all called to outrun each other, but we are called to run together. We need each other because we can't do it on our own. Hallelujah.